He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I started noticing, or that I first noticed forever, however many years ago, when I think it was the Celtics put, like, it wasn't against the Lakers. It was like it was an Eastern Conference matchup, and the Celtics put like Ray Allen on somebody who he had no business guarding. It was like Eastern Conference playoffs thing, and I forget which player was on Bill Simmons, former player was on Bill Simmons' podcast, and he said that that was something that Doc was doing, because like he put him on that team's second best player, and the thought process there was that if you put Ray Allen on the second best player, it's going to force that team, or hope it, you're hoping that it's going to take the ball out of the best player's hands.
Yeah,
because they're going to try to force feed that player with the mismatch on Ray Allen, and it's going to take them out of kind of their game script, right? And I think that's kind of what we saw here from Udoka putting Danny Green on Anthony Davis. It takes the Lakers out of their game script, where recently when they've been looking at their best, it's been Austin with the ball, and like what I would. And we saw it a little bit in the second half, and when the Lakers looked better or whatever. But it's like, if you're going to take advantage of Anthony Davis on Dylan Brooks, Dylan Brooks is going to be on him the whole possession. You know, if like there's your release valve later in the possession, right? But don't spend the whole possession trying to get Anthony Davis isolated on Dylan Brooks. You know, because that takes you out of your game script. It takes you out of your rhythm. So anyway, I want to spend some time on the hold on. We got to get this guy out of here. Skip Bayless made an appearance. All right, so we
it's the weirdest troll I think I've ever seen. That's
a wild one. All right, so I wanted, like, so again, last few shows or so, I've talked a lot about how like it has felt less likely that the Lakers were going to make a move for a big coming into the season. A lot of people kind of thought that I spoke to. Now, again, I always stress this. There are Lakers people that you can talk to, and then there are league people that you can talk to. And people around the league thought that it was only a matter of time till Jonas was a Laker. And on December 15th, there was some thought that, like, okay, this was just going to get executed as soon as it could have. Then it wasn't. And then, you know, here we are almost a month later, and Jonas is still a member of the Washington Wizards. And so, like, I kind of asked around about it, and I thought it was really interesting that even with him healthy, he was not on the injury report at all. Right after the Lakers traded for Dorian Finney-Smith, Jackson Hayes doesn't play a minute. And I thought that was really interesting. Got a DNP CD in that game. Now, he played in this one. I think the Lakers are recognizing that they do need to play some center minutes. I do think that, and I guess according to JJ, there is some progress being made there, that Vanderbilt is going to be back hopefully soon. I think that will 100% end the Jackson Hayes minutes at all. I think they like, just based on the way that they see Dorian Finney-Smith, they probably see Jared Vanderbilt as a center.
Yep.
And I would imagine that you're going to get some Vando at center minutes, and that'll be like the Lakers' vision there moving forward. And as I said, like, right after the D'Lo trade, the Lakers were going to use the next few weeks, hopefully get Vando back. If they got Christian back, cool, but I don't think they really care. And then obviously now we also need to see Gabe Vincent back, and that will give us like our first look at you know, this roster in JJ's vision. And and we'll see what that kind of looks like. I still say that they need a bruising center, whether that's Jonas specifically or whatever, like, fine, we can debate, you know, specific names whenever. But I do still think that you need a viable 7-footer who is league average on your roster. like it's got to be better than Jackson. It's got to be better than Christian. Yeah. Maybe it could have been Coloco, but JJ seems to hate him on a personal level. I don't know, Raj, what do you do with this notion that the Lakers are going to kind of, it seems like they're going to move forward.
Yeah.
Basically relying on small ball.
Right. And look, I think if there is, I think if everybody is rowing the boat in the same way, there's a way to kind of prevent, you know, as many crashes. And I feel like everyone's kind of rowing in that direction, right? It would be one thing if JJ wanted to play a too big unit and, you know, everyone's like, no, we're going to give you all these forwards. And JJ's like, we're starting Jackson Hayes and Coloco together, you know, or something like that when AD's not playing. Yeah. So no, I like there's at least some team wide, you know, connection from the front office to the coaching staff. And I've been clear that Jonas Valanciunas is the name you brought up. That's a guy that when games matter, just gets consistently played off the floor. He just does not play in those minutes, and it's been consistent through different coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there. There's Adairon Sharp in Brooklyn. That's more of kind of the guys I'm looking at. Nick Richards, I believe, in Charlotte. It's very low cost. And if you want to go get a guy to just eat up a few minutes a game, and that's really what it is. You look at it again tonight, Jackson Hayes was catastrophic in his 5 minutes, but in a universe that we'd want, he doesn't play at all. And you mentioned Vando, that's a guy that they're going to try to play at backup center, along with Dorian, with LeBron, you know. So I just think when you get to the minutes selection, like, it's just not a lot of time, and AD's playing 40 minutes at center. And I think that's the way the team is moving forward. So I just don't see a move on the horizon, Anthony, that brings you in what you're looking for. And I understand the bruising center argument. I think I look at it more as a, let's get AD fully healthy to the playoffs, but with no bumps and bruises. I don't think they look at it that way. And if you're going to go all in this, go all in. Like, make sure, play all your wings together. No, don't half this thing where you're playing Gabe Vincent next to, you know, Austin, then you have other three. Go all into the small ball center unit where you're flying around. Play Dorian, Max, Vando next to AD together. Build a defensive identity. I'm with that. Don't half it where you're playing like Dalton next to the, like, go all in. Be a defensive monster and build your team that way if that's the way you want to do it. That's kind of how I see them moving forward until the trade deadline.
First off, like, while the team is built this way, I agree with you, right? Like, all right, you want to be switchable, right? They started the season over switching, right? Mm-hmm. And so clearly that's something that JJ wants in his defense too.
Right. But you can't switch with D'Lo and the players you're switching with, and it matters here.
But if that is the style of defense that you want to play, cool, fine. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like double, triple, quadruple down on that approach and build a rotation with that in mind. Mm-hmm. I do kind of wonder, and this is the thought that I've been having all day today, and the thought I've been having right for the last few days is how much of JJ's approach to this roster has to do with the fact that it's Jackson Hayes and it's Christian Coloco coming off of the bench. And would he change his approach or change his vision for this team's identity if he had somebody as capable as Walker Kessler, right? And like, I tend to think he would. I tend to think that, like, you know, this is as malleable a coach as you're going to find, right? He has literally never coached before. Sure. So like, you know, if anybody could kind of shift to the team's roster, it would be him. You know, the thing that you're going to run into here is, one, there's legitimate doubt throughout the league that Kessler is actually available. Like, that's honestly the point, the part of this that always needs to be brought up more often than I feel like it's brought up.
There's another side.
Yeah, like, so agree. Like, Utah doesn't want to give away or doesn't want to trade away. It's like a player that they see as a real part of their foundation moving forward. They think that they could be contending as soon as next year, depending on who they get in the draft and what they're able to do with some of their other assets. They like the Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler front court potentially, right? Like, that's something that, like, you know, needs to be taken into account.
Yeah.
I do find myself kind of agreeing with, like, JJ to a certain extent is, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to find minutes for Jackson Hayes. And then eventually I'm not going to go out of my way to find minutes for Christian Wood. And eventually I'm not going to, like, and even now, even though I think Koloko kind of fits into that ideology better than the other two guys do, he's a lot more mobile than Hayes. He's a lot more mobile than Wood. It's really, really sucks that he's just on a two-way contract, because I seems like that's the only way that he's kind of viewed by the coaching staff is, yeah, he's on a two-way. We play him when we need to.
Right.
But yeah, if the Lakers, you know, if they don't go out and get a center, if they can't find a center, like, I think one thing that they're really waiting for, and if they trade for Robert Williams later in the season, it will be because he has stayed healthy, right? They aren't going to trade for Robert Williams right now because they don't want to trade for him without knowing for sure he can stay healthy. And then they want to wait all the way when that, you know, until, it's evident that they absolutely have to make that kind of a trade. His price dropped so low, all of those things. So that, like, you trade for him at the very last second that you can.
Right.
But outside of that guy, like, if they trade for De'Ron Sharpe, if they trade for Nick Richards, I don't think you're looking at anything different from what we're seeing right now with the Lakers, where those guys are also going to struggle to play.
100%. Those are you're just adding names to the insurance board, right? Is what you're doing with getting one of those. My thing on this, Anthony, and I think this is what the front office sees. I think this is what JJ Redick is doing. This is just my theory. Let information be your guide, right? You made this trade on, when was the DFS trade on, before Christmas or after Christmas or whatever it was, in the end of December, early January. And now you have time to evaluate. Let's see if this small ball is viable. JJ, in his quotes earlier today before the game, I forgot who he mentioned this to, or maybe it was just in the scrum, the Lakers are top 10 in offense and defense since LeBron has returned from his hiatus, as they call it, his little break between the season. Once LeBron has returned, they're top 10 in offense and defense, and I think they're going to check and see, okay, let's see this small ball work, right? The Christian Wood part of this is fascinating because he does fit kind of the spacing element of it and size, right? And I'm not sure how he fits into their plans, but Vando 100% fits into their plans. We wouldn't be getting updates on a player that's been out for 2 years if it wasn't, right? They would just stop telling us information, which, I mean, they've had for a while, but Vando 100% is part of this equation. And I think let's just evaluate, let's see how this is. If they're a bottom 25 defense while playing these small ball units, then yes, here comes some urgency of let's go get a big to play next to AD. You know, like, all those things can be resolved. That's the whole point of doing this early and be able to assess and evaluate the team. You can move Rui in that lineup if he's not playing well, if he doesn't fit the new concoction of players that has been created here. We'll see how Shake Milton goes through. See how Gabe Vincent plays in these final. Like, there's a time to evaluate the team. I don't see a move coming. You mentioned the Walker Kessler stuff. Anthony, I think the part that also gets left out with him, he makes $5 million next season in a ridiculous contract. Like, the value he's giving Utah on that deal, it just, to me, it doesn't make sense to trade him, especially with the salary that they would get back, right? People are like, let's go trade JHS for Walker Kessler. Yeah, call that to Danny Ainge and see how that phone conversation goes. And then from there, to me, after Walker Kessler, the value of bigs drops precipitously. It just, I mentioned De'Ron Sharpe and you mentioned and Nick Richards. It's just, those are fine guys, energy guys. Are they so much better than what you have now? Maybe, but I doubt we'll give up real equity of second rounders or first rounders to kind of see if that's true.
Yeah. We're 50 minutes into this thing and we need to get to starred comments. So let's go ahead and play this bad boy. All right, first one here to get us going. I get boards for days, so definitely not Rui Hachimura. Reporter has confirmed your report of LA not wanting a center as of right now. Have you heard anything of who LA is targeting in particular? Oh, now you guys believe me. Okay. It's not a matter of like who they're targeting. Like I think the next move that the Lakers make, if they make another one, is going to kind of come out of left field. It'll be like, you know, cause right now on the market, I don't sense that there's anybody on the market right now that the Lakers are cool trading an unprotected first rounder and the rotation pieces that they would have to trade to go out and get that guy. Right. You know, just contractually. So like the closest to that is Cam Johnson. The Lakers had the assets to potentially get that done. But they opted instead to move second round draft capital for Dorian. I think, and I'll have a mailbag episode either tomorrow or later in the week. But I think the Lakers need another wing, frankly. Like I think they need another point of attack defender. They probably need another creator for the second unit. And I think they need another, you know, they need a better big. It's just like how many of those needs are actually feasible and like whether or not they can actually be met. But is it like what kind of player, Raj, would you prefer the Lakers target?
Yeah, I was laughing about this on LFR. Like, we just made a trade. Let's enjoy it for 1 week before we ask who's next. But I've been consistent.
It hasn't been a week?
Or maybe over a week. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's been about a week.
Okay, a week. Yeah, because I was at the
trade. It was on a Sunday.
Last week, yes, which was Dorian's first game. I've been consistent. I think Brandon Ingram's my favorite name out there. I think he just fits the most boxes, gives you the most talent upgrade. That's something though I would like to see if that need is like that. Is that a part of talent that we need in a month and a half or a month, whatever that trade deadline is? And then the first part of this question of not wanting a center. Anthony, we're 14-7 when Koloko plays. I just want to put that out there. We win at a pretty strong rate when he gets minutes. And so that's a guy that I would like to try. I want to see if he can't play, I guess. I know what Jackson Hayes is. Let me see if Koloko can't play. That's all I'm asking for.
It's a Caruso thing all over again, right? Like where somebody's resume or their like cachet doesn't like would lead the coaching staff and decision makers to a place where like that's all they can see that player as. And then it's like it takes a year for you to realize, oh shit, that player is actually that guy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Next one here comes from Rye Guy. Two LA first and Rui and Gabe for plus Rui and Gabe for Sharp and Cam Johnson, unless OKC or Sacramento comes in with three firsts. It's LA's trade to lose. Cam's a perfect fit. I don't think, well, for one thing, let's see, cause Gabe makes what, 11
or 13, around there.
And then Rui makes like 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 29. I think that makes up for that would get you on the bone. Like you would handle the bonuses there. I think that works in the CBA. Like off the top of my head, I'm just doing the math in my head. Would you do that? I don't know. I'm nervous about Austin being the literal only guard on the roster.
Yeah. I just
like, you know, cause the other thing too, there is that like you're making an even trade. So you're not opening up a roster spot for you to go out and get like even Lonnie or, you know, Fultz or Dennis Smith Jr. All right, this game's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting move. And again, it's one that I think should be the final one that gets you over the hump, right? Like, it should be the one where, all right, Lakers have won at this pace since the Dorian trade. They're just this move away. They're Cam Johnson away from, you know, being like, that's to me what this move would kind of indicate. The funniest thing, Anthony, I don't know if it's ever happened where a team makes a trade with, you know, with a franchise, and then a month later makes another trade with the same franchise. I'm not sure if that's happened before. I think that's an interesting look as well as is Brooklyn the only team we're allowed to trade with? I think that'd be interesting. Yeah, Cam Johnson's nice. I just two firsts for him. I don't think the Lakers do that unless again they feel like he's the last piece to put them into a contender spot, and I don't think they feel that way right now.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the year, that if the Lakers move both of their firsts, it's for a player that they know is going to lead directly to a lengthy playoff run.
Right.
Whether that's Cam Johnson, anybody, like whoever the Lakers get, if they move both of those first round picks, that player is like, you're going to look back on that trade. It's like, okay, they don't get to the Western Conference Finals or to the finals without making that trade. And, I don't know if I necessarily think Cam Johnson is that player.
Right.
Brandon Omang writes, do you think AR can be a 20-point, 40%, 20-point per game and a 40% three-point shooter? JJ is treating Rui like Ham was with Prince. Also love Max, but I didn't like him taking it out. Yeah, I think that was a mistake, having Max take the ball out there. I think we're getting to the end of the rope here with JJ and Rui, so I'm not too worried about that. What do you think? Like, what's the
ceiling
on Max? Like, where are we looking at here?
For Max, yeah, he's obviously still only 21, and I'm seeing a guy that's Anthony becoming more and more confident as a catch and shoot guy as these games go on, and I still think the biggest question for the Lakers is knowing, is this shooting real for Max Christie? Like, is he an actual 43% shooter on, you know, good volume against high level defense and, you know, in big games? That's something that's what I like about, you know, when you're in a playoff hunt and you get to the end of the race here and the West is going to be close throughout the rest of this regular season. A lot of regular season games, Anthony, are going to feel like playoff games. That's just how it's going to go. And you're going to be able to evaluate these, like, how do you do in crunch time? How do you do when, you know, this is a must win game and, you know, you need to make this shot in the corner, cause the ball's moved around five times. But no, Max is ceiling. I think he's a 3-and-D guy with a little bit more pop, off the bounce. And that's to me where I see it right now. His defense is getting better and better as he gets more reps, but, that's where I put it. I just don't think Max is ever going to be a guy that, like, you know, is running pick and rolls. And honestly, he doesn't need to be. You can make $25 million a year in this league if you're doing exactly what he's doing on a high, you know, time scale. And Lakers have him locked up for $8 million for the next 4 years. So he can really outkick his contract during that. But yeah, it's been cool. Max's growth is one of the most favorite parts of this season so far. And hopefully that continues.
Brandon continues. DK's defense is terrible. He's 6'6", 220 with almost a 6'10 wingspan, and athletic is bleep. He's got to be better on defense. No excuses. I mean, it's not an excuse. Explanation is he was not drafted for his defense. That's for damn sure. He was drafted for his shooting, and he is not shooting the ball well. Him and Rui are hard to watch on defense alone. A lot of the time. Yeah. I kind of wouldn't mind, like, depending on the move that the Lakers make, seeing Dalton fall completely out of the rotation. Like, he's just he's a nothing burger right now, and it's really hurting the Lakers. And like, I even said it the other day, like, he looks like a guy who needs a break. Like, he could use a couple DNP CDs even just to get out of get away from the sport, recalibrate, remember how to shoot. He shot 16% on three pointers in December.
Yeah,
16, Raj. The whole point of him is that he shoots. Like, JJ called him a 99th percentile shooter.
Sure.
That's 16th is like a 1th percentile shooter.
The tough part is the Lakers need him, and maybe that's just that's more of a answer on why that it, like that situation than Dalton. But I think he needs to play, and I think because you have to get him over this hump, and maybe he just hit the star, you know, not star, but he hit the he really accelerated out of the gates. Yeah, he accelerated out of the gate so fast that like the wall came a lot quicker than he usually does for rookies. But yeah, I think he's got to fight through this, right? He's at the point where he's on scouting reports. You don't let that guy shoot, right? And that's a that, not that that means everything, but there's a level of respect there that now here comes the next adjustment that you have to go to, where how do I get looks when my guy's not leaving me, when my guy's face guarding me, when they're top blocking me, like when I'm no longer this like fun story, I'm now, you can't let that guy see the ball go through the hoop because you're in trouble, right? Like once you, when you get to that point, that's kind of where the next step is. And he just had three threes in the last game against Atlanta. It was big. Actually, a lot of those were really big time shots. It was 4 for 7. And on Christmas, he had a nice game, even though he didn't hit the three ball well. So I think for him, just until obviously Vando gets healthy, and maybe we'll see who else does. But I think Dalton's got to fight through this, whatever it is. And hopefully the Lakers bear fruit from that.
Mockman writes, Rui at the four is a bad idea. You only have $10 million in dead salary. And two first, Kessler or Richards is the only option. And then you add a free agent, whether that be Fultz, Lonnie, or Dennis Smith Jr. Like, I just don't think Kessler is available is a thing. Like, I that's the part that I keep on coming back to. And I know that the Lakers have called about him repeatedly over the course of the season. And depending on who you talk to, like the Lakers feel like they got relatively close to landing Kessler over the summer. So the Lakers seem to think that he's available. Just a ton of other people that I've spoken to disagree. So like, it's kind of a non-starter.
Yeah. I'll take the second half of this part. I'm shocked that Markelle Fultz and Lonnie Walker just have not found a single team that has said, you know, let's bring you in, even as veterans, Anthony, just veteran guards to come and help out DeAndre. I mean, this is not the same comparison, but I'm watching DeAndre Jordan in Denver. I'm watching Jeff Green in Houston. Like, these guys are NBA players. So I'm shocked. And the Lakers are just, they don't need what those guys do. But yeah, Markelle Fultz is the most interesting guy there. I don't know how you feel about him, but I like Markelle a lot. I thought he had an awesome time in Orlando, like reshaping his image as a basketball player. I'm surprised that dude just can't find a place in the league.
I guess there's some concern that he isn't healthy right now, that he's like rehabbing his knee. But yeah, I think of that collection of guards, Fultz is the one I'm most intrigued by, because he does exactly what the Lakers need defensively. Exactly. Right? Like, he, you know, if you have him and Max somehow out there at the same time on the perimeter, like, you could wreak some real havoc out there.
Yes.
You know, and and make sure that teams start their offense a good like 5 seconds later in the shot clock than they would like to. Mm-hmm. All right. Passport Blackheart writes, my thing is, do they value Anthony Davis? Dude is literally playing 40 minutes at center. Obviously this hasn't worked. What needs to change? Woods is iffy. I don't think Wood is a part of their plans here this season. It doesn't, you know, like you said earlier, like it does feel notable that we keep on getting told, just wait. Like we are seeing some progress there on Vando, and we aren't hearing anything like that about Wood. Do they value Anthony Davis thing? Now, this is where it's kind of interesting, because Anthony Davis was very clear to them in the offseason, I want to play less center this year. And the Lakers like did that thing that you'll sometimes see when somebody asks like a really stupid question. You go to the quote tweets of that tweet, and it's like, no, with a heart on it. You know, it's like the Lakers like no, with a purple and gold heart on it.
Right.
Like, like, oh, that's cute, AD, but no, you're playing center.
Sorry. Yeah.
You don't really see that too often with like too many stars. Like, you know, like he's had this request now for multiple years, and the Lakers are just like, nah.
Well, I mean, the Lakers are like, yeah, well, we gave you Jackson Hayes and Christian Coloco and Christian Wood, right? I think Christian Wood is also an AD guy, if I have that correct. I think, and also obviously a Darvin Ham guy. But yeah, I've said for a while, I just don't think the Lakers value that position, and what they value in that position is, to me, so far off from what is actually effective at that position, right? Steven Adams can't shoot a lick. Who cares? That dude comes in, rebounds, block shots, and that's it, and is a force on the end, right? The Lakers go look at Mo Bamba, they look at Thomas Bryant, look at, you know, all these centers that can shoot. Christian Wood, I would even put in this category. So I think that's where they're at with it. But no, AD is going to play center, and he's with a coach, to me, that wants AD to play center. I think JJ's been very clear on the Bajillion podcast whenever he talks about the Lakers that Anthony Davis is a five and should play the five. So that's why the roster looks as it does.
All right, last one here. I get boards for days. Have you heard of any interest in Bruce Brown? From the best I can tell, it sounds like the Lakers kind of talked about it a little bit. It's like, it's tricky trading for a $23 million a year player, given the kinds of contracts that the Lakers have at their disposal now. The fact that he is now gettable for less than a first rounder makes him interesting. The problem is, though, that, like, all right, so if you include Vando's contract now, you would probably have to include draft capital to get Bruce or to get off of Vando's contract. And that's something that the Lakers don't really seem all that interested in. There are only so many ways I can say this. This is the team for at least the next 2-3 weeks. And then as we get closer to like February, the Lakers will have a decent data sample that they will use to make a decision on whatever other needs that they have. So, like, you know, I would love the Bruce Brown addition. I would love the Lonzo Ball addition. But the Lakers need to see both of those guys stay healthy. They need to see Robert Williams stay healthy. And then they need to see some of these prices on these players come down, given that the Lakers are going to be moving a chunk of their rotation to go out and get them. So it's a combination of all of those factors.
While you were talking, I just pulled up the trade machine, and Bruce Brown for Rui, JHS, and Christian Wood works. So again, that's a trade like I can see in a month and a half if you evaluate the team and go, hey, we need just another physical guy that can handle the ball. And I'd be fine for that if it's very low draft equity, which I think it would be. Bruce Brown's a free agent after this next year, and he is not re-signing Toronto or anything close to that number. So again, that's the thing. And again, I would like to see Bruce Brown just play basketball for a little while. He's in the Vando school of just wear the most loudest thing on the bench while you're not playing. But I like Bruce Brown a lot. I don't think that trade is happening at this moment.
All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm going to slink back into my spot on my couch and just whine about what the Lions are currently doing to the Vikings. Raj, this was fun. You and I will be back on what, Tuesday? The Lakers play again on Tuesday. The plan is to hopefully have a really fun guest here later in the week. So, I also think Harrison owes me an episode this week too. So we have a fun week ahead as we kind of get to that weird part of the year where it's like post-Christmas, but it's not quite the trade deadline. And the games feel like they mean more than they did back in like October, November, but they certainly, feel a little nervous as everybody thinks that they might be on the trade block. So, yeah. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Hopefully it's better than it looks like mine is going to be. Make somebody else's. And we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.